Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
All right, I thought we'd start with a video clip of what could be described as a great British institution.
Ah, Park Lane. I think that's one of my properties, Rodney.
Of course it is. You own everything on the board.
No, I don't. Look, you've got the Coventry Street. Granddad's got the waterworks and all that.
How's it coming on?
Yeah. Park Lane with one hotel, £2,000, please.
Hold on.
Hey, what?
According to this, it's only 1,500.
Yes, I know, but I put you in the penthouse suite, haven't I?
I want the penthouse suite, do I? There you go, 1,500, that's all you're getting.
Like a big kid, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I give up on him, Grandad.
It's your go, Grandfather. Ah, Piccadilly. Right, that's mine, and I've got an hotel, so that's
£1,200. £1,200 for an hotel next to a smelly old waterworks?
What?
All them sewers... I'd rather sleep in the car or look for a bed and breakfast.
No, you don't understand. Bless you. No, look. It's in the rules.
£1,200 is scandalous. I ain't a tourist, you know.
Adele, can you have a word with him?
Well, I think he's got a point, Rodney. I mean, I don't know what possessed you to build a hotel next to a sewage farm in the first place. I mean, let's face it, you know, your gaff's never going to get in the Michelin Guide, is he, eh?
But the point of the... Stupid bloody guy!
Oh, that's charming, that.
Classic. It's a classic scene. I love that show. Even though I've literally not seen that for decades. And I want to ask you a question. What do you think went wrong? What went wrong with the game? Take a moment just to talk to the person next to you. If you're sitting next to a stranger, introduce yourself. And literally 30 seconds. I'm going to time it. Why did that all go wrong? Just share your opinion. Take a moment to do that. Okay. What do you think went wrong with that game? Why did it end up in tears, so to speak? Was it the fault of the young guy, Rodney, being pedantic and unyielding, inflexibly holding to these unreasonable rules? Was it the fault of the other two, Delboy or Grandad, trying to adapt the game to suit themselves? Was it something else that you identified? Well, I want you to hold on to that question because we are actually going to come back to it. At the end of tonight's Bible teaching, which I've entitled Rediscovering Authority Again. Rediscovering Authority Again. The reason I've called it Rediscovering Authority Again is those of you with incredible memories may recall about this time last year, I taught on authority, focusing more on the submitting or the yielding end of the subject. Those of you with nigh on miraculous memories may remember that just over 2 years ago, I taught on the subject of authority, focusing on the exercising or the wielding end of the subject as we looked at spiritual warfare. And this evening I'm going to do a little bit of both. And I hope you find it helpful. A question for you, why do I keep coming back to authority? Why have I this time, I think it's the third time I've been given speaker's choice in as many years, and I've come back to the same subject? Well, the answer to that is I think we have an epidemic problem with authority in Western culture at the moment, and I think that affects every aspect of our lives. Let me say that to you again. I think that we have an epidemic problem when it comes to authority in our culture. I think that's true of all cultures in the world, but in the Western culture, I think it's a problem of epidemic proportions, and I think it affects every aspect of our lives. Ask any teacher, ask any police officer, ask any politician. And I'm pretty sure that they would say to you, though we do many things well in our culture, we're generally pretty bad when it comes to respecting and submitting to people in authority. Authority, discipline, submission. These have become dirty words, have they not? In our culture, in the West, these are generally speaking dirty words. Even hearing me say the words discipline or submission instantly has a gut level reaction for some of us here this evening. Just gets us on edge, doesn't it? Some of you even now just feeling a little bit defensive, a little bit argumentative, thinking, oh, why do we have to hear about this again? I think we do authority badly, and I think God wants to do something about that. We have an epidemic problem in our culture, which it poses quite a significant problem for we Christians, because the Bible teaches unambiguously that authority, that discipline, that submission are all really, really good things. These are things that are not only human virtues, which we as human beings should celebrate and encourage. They're actually at the very epicenter of God's character. They're at the heart of who the one that we worship is. They were at the heart of Jesus' ministry. You read the Gospels. Oh, it's all about love. Oh, it's all about grace. It's also about his authority coming on earth as in heaven. I'm going to say more about that later. These are things which are at the heart of God's kingdom being expressed on earth. God's redemption happening. The redemption of our world back to the way God initially designed it. Now, in fairness, I have every sympathy with people, Christians or otherwise, when they get a little bit sniffy about discipline, a little bit sniffy about submission, a little bit sniffy or edgy about authority. I have every sympathy. Because the vast majority of us, probably all of us, have had either bad or really bad experiences of authority figures who've got it wrong and who've harmed us or warped us and warped our thinking on this subject in some way. We've had parents, we've had teachers, we have had bosses who have been oppressive, who've been forceful with us, even those sort of authority figures that have shifted right over to this end of the scale. Or we've had parents, teachers, bosses, other authority figures who've been weak and who have been passive and who have been inadequate in articulating healthy authority at the other end of the scale. But in as much as we in our culture get authority badly wrong, guys, God the Father, the one whom we've been worshipping this evening, the one whom we love, is calling us as a church to get authority right and to do it well. God wants us, Romans chapter 12, to no longer conform to the pattern of this world, in as much as that pattern is wrong and faulty. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The Lord wants us as his church to model healthy attitudes to authority, to discipline, to submission as part of him sending us out to redeem his fallen creation. God is calling us to model healthy attitudes to authority and all the things that go with as he sends us out into our world as bringers of his redemption. And we're going to pray into that later. Whatever our culture may feel about authority, it is always spoken of well in Scripture. Father God is the ultimate authority figure. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about God as an authority figure? He is. In fact, he's the ultimate authority figure. And God is love. God is love. What does that tell you about the true nature of authority? When I was a child, about the age of my youngest child, who is he 6 or 7, Natalie? That's it. She's disappeared. I think he's 7. When I was about 7, don't tell him that I forgot his age. I always forget in their ages. The older ones really, really mind. He doesn't mind it too much. I was an avid collector of Smurfs. These little statues of Smurfs. You may know Smurfs in another format, but the original Smurfs, and again, like Only Fools and Horses, I really am showing my age this evening. I was an avid collector as a child of little Smurfs that you used to get from National Garage, the one place that you could get. National's the one place on earth, went the advert. You'll get service with the Smurf. Very exciting whenever we went to fill up the car, because it meant Dad would buy us another Smurf. And I put my Smurfs in their little Smurf world. I painted for them on a great big board a little world in which I placed them and their houses. And everything that happened in their little Smurf world was at my whim. I controlled it. I controlled it utterly with an iron fist. Smurf battles, Smurf construction projects, Smurf romances. I lorded it over my Smurfs. They did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, because that's the kind of authority I had over my Smurf world in my bedroom. Friends, Father God is not like that. You might know that, but the vast majority of the people out there do not know that. Father God is not like that. That is not the authority that we see celebrated and commended in Scripture. Genesis 1-3 shows us that Father God's plan in creation was not for the earth and all of its habits to be his playthings. In fact, he chose a wild idea. I know I'm going to make everything good and fantastic, then I'm going to make human beings, and I'm going to put them in charge. I'm going to put humans in charge of my creation. Did you know that? I mean, it's a pretty startling revelation. If you've never tweaked that, read the creation account. God's will was to put human beings in charge. Now, he didn't just then absent himself and think, all right, well, go on then, have a good time. I've got another world to take care of now. He didn't just leave it to us. He knew that we would need constant involvement from him if we were going to maintain creativity, if we were going to maintain order in his creation. And that's where the Bible and the Holy Spirit comes in. God's continual involvement in guiding us as custodians and stewards. But the fact remains, according to the Bible, we are the ones whom God put in charge of creation. We are the ones to whom he delegated his authority. He delegated his good, life-giving, protecting, releasing authority to humans so that we would rule over creation. In fact, the Hebrew word we're given in the beginning of Genesis for our presiding and ruling over creation is actually serve, that we were to serve the earth with leadership. Again, that comes naturally to me, but for some people it's like, what? What? A leader that serves? I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? Often when I talk about my leadership at St. Barnabas, when I'm not completely screwing it up and when I'm actually doing a good job, I talk about serving the church with leadership. That's biblical authority. We were to serve the earth as stewards and custodians. God chose to delegate his authority to us then, and according to the New Testament, that is still his central plan. For us to be in charge. He's delegated his authority to us that we may express his authority on earth. Matthew 16 Peter's having this conversation with Jesus is having this conversation with Peter, and Peter is probably a little bit mind blown by the fact that Jesus says that he's going to give him authority to snatch back from creation, to snatch back from Satan, the things of God's creation. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, Peter. And he says this, Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing, what the dickens is that all about? Well, two chapters later, Jesus says virtually the same thing, this time talking to the whole church in general, not just Peter and the people who will follow him, but speaking to the church in general, he repeats the same thing. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, those of you with nigh on miraculous memories will remember 2 and a little bit years ago, me explaining that this binding and loosing language was actually first century rabbinic language, where a rabbi was in a position to either permit something or to forbid it. Rabbis were able to permit or forbid any number of things in God's name. And what Jesus is expressing first to Peter and then to us, his church, is, I'd like you to do the same thing. It is we, God's church, who are supposed to be taking authority over war. It is we, God's church, who are supposed to be taking authority over lies, over fear, over country music, binding and forbidding these terrible things in Jesus' name and releasing and permitting the kingdom opposite of whatever those things are. Where we find war, we are supposed to bind it and release peace in the name of Christ. Where we find lies, we are supposed to bind it and release truth in Jesus' name. Where we find fear, we bind it, we release courage in Jesus' name. I won't go any further. I actually quite like country music, just in small doses. Has it ever occurred to you, when you pray, and you say, oh Lord, please, please, would you come and do this? Oh, I really want you to come and do this. Please, would you come? That actually, the biblical model we have from Genesis onwards is actually us inviting God onto our turf, our God-given turf that he's given us, your places of authority, your workplaces, your families, your neighborhoods, your own life, that we actually turn to God and we say, I would like to invite you as the custodian, the God-given custodian of this little area, this patch you've put me in charge of. I would like you to come and act. It's the inviting of God to come and do what he wants. It's what we call prayer. Has it ever occurred to you that that's the dynamic of those who have been put in charge, given his authority? We have a problem as we go into a world which is skeptical and scathing to do with authority, because the God whom we worship is really into authority. Of course, he's into proper divine authority, not Smurf lording it over them authority. Not the messed up version we so often experience. God is really into authority. He wants us, his church, to be really into good, loving authority. Not to hold it at arm's length and buy into the culture, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to think, actually, do you know what? I'm really into authority. But let me show you what God's authority is actually like. He wants us to take authority on earth and our position as God's custodians seriously. And we're going to pray into that later too. A couple more things before we pray. Authority, submission to authority. Again, not a popular subject in our culture. It's a concept which is fairly unpopular, the concept of submission in our culture. And that's probably because people have experienced the wrong kind of thing in submission. They've experienced submission done badly. And yet, in Scripture, it is held out as a Christ-like virtue, which is not just modeled by Jesus, but commanded of us in Scripture. Modeled by Jesus, well, Gethsemane, a classic example of Jesus expressing this godly virtue. We see him submitting to the will of the Father and then in turn going on to submit to the Jews for trial and submitting to the Romans for crucifixion, saying, knowing at any point he could have stopped the whole thing, but choosing instead to submit. And going to the cross, and let's face it, the cross turned out pretty well for the rest of the cosmos. Philippians 2, Paul, probably citing a first century song, writes this of Jesus. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, I mean, that's pretty awesome. Very nature God, did not consider equality of God something to be grasped. Instead, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Submission. Modeled by Jesus, submission commanded of us by Scripture. Classic example of a command to submit. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does that mean? It means this. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's pretty straightforward. And yet we struggle to do it, don't we? Christians are supposed to model submission both within the church and within our domestic situations, within our families. We're also supposed to model it in society. Thanks, Becca. Romans 13, verse 1 says this. Everyone must submit to the governing authority. Imagine that. Everyone, speaking to the church, must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Did you even know that that verse was there in the Bible? Grab a Bible from Becca, turn it up, you'll see for yourself. There it is. Submission to authority is a key characteristic of Jesus. It's supposed to be a key characteristic of the church. It's certainly a key characteristic of the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Just tonight, as I'm talking about proper divine authority, I'm also talking about proper divine submission. Submission is not someone weak being dominated. That is bad submission. That is wrong. That is sinful submission and oppression. The submission I'm talking about that Jesus modeled and that we are commanded by Scripture to live is when someone who is strong has chosen to yield. Someone strong choosing to yield to the will of another. That is biblical submission. And that is what we are charged by Father God to get good at, like Jesus, as a key part of bringing redemption here on earth. Yielding and wielding authority. This is at the heart of who Jesus was. It is at the heart of who we should be. Authority, submission, discipline. Discipline, another godly, Christ-like, divine virtue which has been reduced to a dirty word by our deluded culture. And that is probably because we have largely experienced bad discipline. You want to know what bad discipline is? When we mess up? That. Do you want to know what God's discipline is? When we mess up? Father God is really into discipline. How do I know that? Because it says it in the Bible. Hebrews 12, verse 6. God disciplines those he loves. What does that tell you about the nature of God's discipline? Father God, whose very nature is the most perfect love, disciplines us. Discipline has become a dirty word because people think discipline is this. But in fact, discipline is this. When we fall down, God sets us up and sets us straight. He disciplines us because he loves us. Our culture fears, it vilifies discipline. I mean, even me saying discipline is a good thing. God is into discipline. Some of us here this evening, I know because I talk to you. Some of you will think, oh, that's hard to hear. That's not what I came to St. Barnabas to hear this evening. Our culture fears, it vilifies discipline. Father God charges us, his people, to relish it, to receive it, and to dish it out, to yield it and to wield it as part of the redemption of our fallen world. And we're going to pray into that later too. In the vintage sketch I showed you earlier on, the Only Fools and Horses sketch, I asked you why the game went wrong. And there are probably loads and loads of different ideas that you discussed. The reason I think it went wrong, and they all fell out with each other, was essentially an inability, an unwillingness to submit to the rules of the game and to one another, the three of them. It was a relational problem that arose out of an unredeemed attitude to authority, submission, and discipline. And it, of course, was a very trivial example. In fact, we laughed, didn't we? I laugh. It's funny. It was a trivial example. However, I believe the same thing is at the heart of everything that goes wrong in our world. An inability, an unwillingness to engage with authority, discipline, and submission, I believe it is at the heart of everything that goes wrong in our world. Think about some of the things that have gone wrong in your life. Some of the things that have gone wrong recently, last year, over Christmas. Some of the fallouts you had, inevitably. Even Natalie and I had an argument over Christmas. Can you believe it? Some of the things that went wrong over Christmas, something that went wrong last year, something that may have been wrong in your family a long time ago. Think of the things that have gone wrong in your life or in the lives of those around you. I guarantee that somewhere down the line, a fallen, ungodly attitude to authority will be in the mix somewhere. The Lord is calling us as his church to counter this. That's why I keep going back to this subject again and again. I believe it is at the heart of everything that God is wanting to fix on earth. Sometimes not obviously, but it's there in the mix. And God is calling we, his church, to become really good at authority, discipline, submission. So good that it actually begins to return our world back to the original plan that we read about in Genesis 1 to 3. Hey, I'm going to make a world, and it's not going to be like Colin and his Smurfs. It's going to be really good because I'm going to put people in charge. I'm going to give them my authority on earth, and they're going to wield it really well, and they're going to yield to it really well, and they're going to perceive it, not just for me, but in one another and in the authorities that are established, and governments, and policemen, and teachers. And it's going to work really well, and oh my goodness, it hasn't worked well at all. In fact, the whole game has been upended. But do you know what? Through Jesus, through the church, anticipated it throughout the Old Testament laws and the way things work. It was only ever a prefigure. It was a bit hazy. But then, in full, glorious, technical color, Jesus and the church express my authority, and they get so good at it, and they model it among themselves that it begins to affect and redeem creation. And we're able to return back to the way God wanted it to work in the first place. We yielding and wielding authority well is at the heart of Jesus's redemption plan. It is at the heart of our God-given mission on earth. We're going to pray now. So I'm going to invite you to stand if you are able. Otherwise, please remain seated as I read one final Bible verse. And it's Matthew 28, verse 18, where Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and I am sending you. I am sending you to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to submit to the ways that I have shown you, and I will be with you to the end of the age." So shall we pray? Have you got some magic sounds ready for us? That's great. Okay. So Spirit of Jesus, just have you, as you have been here throughout our time together, as we've mingled, as we've chatted, as we've heard about what's planned for the coming weeks, as we've worshipped you, as we've prayed, and as we've dipped into the scriptures, would you come and fill us now? Come, Spirit of Jesus. And help us to respond to what you are saying to us through your word. Father, I want to begin by praying for anyone here who has been lastingly harmed by negative authority figures, be they the oppressive kind or the weak and passive kind, people who have been failed and harmed lastingly by authority figures who really, really messed up. And if you know that's you, if you know your dad or your mum or your headmaster or someone in the police or someone at school has had such a negative effect on you as an authority figure, you still bear the wounds now, and it is still keeping you from acting in the way Jesus did and responding in the way Scripture commands with regard to authority. If you know that it's a bit like a ball and a chain, then what I'm going to invite you to do is do something really brave, just to physically identify. Yes, I identify that. And it's just hold your hands out. I think most of us got our eyes closed, so we won't see, but the Lord will see. And if you have got your eyes closed and you're thinking about, do I put my hands out or not? You should know I've got my hands out, because I fall squarely into that category. My dad and my brother and people at school badly harmed me. I had a very warped concept of authority until God got hold of me and began to redeem it. So if that's you, if like me, you know you've been harmed by bad authority, then hold out your hands. I'm going to pray that Spirit of Jesus, you'll come and set us free now. Set us free, Lord. We choose to forgive those people who have failed us by being passive or by being oppressive. Would you teach us, Lord? Would you teach us a new way of relating to you? Because that your very nature is authority, and we need to be able to relate to you without the baggage of the past. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord. Set us free, Lord. I want to pray for a second group of people, and it might be the second, it might be the same as the first. If you know that, honestly, you're really rubbish at being disciplined, that there's this rebellious part of you, that there's this, you can't tell me what to do-ness, that is so un-Christ-like. It's not a healthy thing. And honestly, it's just this prickly response to being disciplined. Then again, I'm going to invite you just to say to the Lord, not necessarily identify it physically, but just as you stand in God's presence, to say, Lord, please change me. Please heal me, Lord. Lord, where I am happy to be disciplined by people I agree with, I'm happy to be disciplined by you, Lord God, all the while it's stuff I'm happy to hear. But I'm unhappy to be under discipline of those who don't do it particularly well, or it's stuff that really cuts across my values, my stuff. Lord, would you change me? Would you give me a tender heart? Would you teach me to come under discipline in a way that Scripture teaches? And again, Lord, where I've been harmed because I've had the snapping experience of discipline rather than the being set straight concept of discipline, would you heal me, Lord, and you help me just get good at being under discipline and not afraid to discipline others? And if you know that you hold back from discipline, you're a bit weedy when it comes to that, you're afraid to offend, and again, bring that to the Lord. Say, God, please forgive me and help me to be Christ-like, loving, a loving truth speaker. Father, I want to pray for us that where we aren't that good at submission, again, because we have been hurt through people with a wrong idea of submission, God, would you please make us a church who are able to model it like Jesus? If that's something you want, I want to invite you now just to physically show that by lifting up your hands to the Lord. You don't have to, but if you would like to, make that your prayer. Again, if you're physically able, would you lift up your hands with me? And would you say in your heart, Lord, please, help me to be someone who is able and competent and good at expressing the kind of submission that Jesus modeled, the kind of submission that is commanded of us. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, to submit to the authorities that you place over us, Lord God, be they domestic or otherwise. And again, let's be conscious of the Holy Spirit as He wants to equip us and fill us to be people who are able to model this kind of stuff in fallen creation. Lastly, I just want to pray for the Lord's anointing, and then we're going to worship Him. I want to pray for the Lord's anointing to fill us, that we would wield God's authority faithfully, not in a way that lords it over others, in a way that is oppressive, and not in a way that is passive and timid, but in a way that is confident and Christ-like and loving. That when we see things in our world which are not as the Father intended and not as the Father wants, that we would express and articulate the authority of God through prayer, through action, that we would call God's kingdom to come on earth as in heaven, just as Jesus did, just as we, His church, are commanded and commissioned to. And again, if that's something that you want to, let the amen rise up in your heart. Lord, I want to be someone who is able to wield the authority that you give to the church, that Jesus commissioned Peter with and gave to the church, to see His kingdom come on earth as in heaven. This is our prayer, Lord. This is our prayer, your church. That we will be good at yielding and wielding the authority of God here in creation for your glory and for the earth's redemption. Continue our prayer through worship.